Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Cephalon Squared. Not something we do often, but something we thought we'd surprise you with. Enjoy. G'day, Cephalon Collective, and welcome to a special episode of Cephalon Squared. I'm Cephalon Greg. I'm joined, as always, by Cephalon Lucas.
Hi.
Say hi.
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 Well, fuck.
Yeah. Special episode, eh? Here we are.
Episode. Oh, my God. It's been a hot minute.
It has been more than a minute. It's been several hot minutes. They've all been quite warm. We will talk about that. But it has been a long time, and I'm sure that everybody is wondering how the weather's going. Weather rambles. So, Lucas, tell us, how's the weather up in Ipswich? You are still living in Ipswich, aren't you?
I'm still living in Ipswich, yes. Whew, okay, different part of Ipswich, but still Ipswich. Anywho, here in the sunny state of Queensland in Ipswich, it's presently 23 degrees Celsius, that's 74 Fahrenheit for you Fahrenheit folk, with a 38% humidity. It's a day. It's just a nice day. It's not winter, it's not summer, it's just a day.
That's a snapshot that could be absolutely any day in Brisbane ever.
Yeah.
Damn Queenslanders. Anyway, down here in Melbourne, it's 17 degrees, 62 degrees Fahrenheit, 64% humidity. So it's just been a bit of a shitty, chilly day. Not cold, but chilly. Chilly.
Chilly.
Little bit chilly.
Where about chilly?
We just decided to do this. We threatened it for a new war and it never happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's because it was too close to us finishing, honestly. It was only a few months after we ended the podcast and I thought about it and I just couldn't be fucked.
I mean, we didn't kind of plan it, but...
We sort of did. And then it didn't happen.
But then it didn't happen.
Yeah, and I was okay with it not happening, to be honest. And then now, like... It was suggested once or twice in the podcast, in the Discord, and I was like, that's an interesting idea. And then I just thought I'd ask you, and you said, yeah, let's do it. And here we are. Oh,
fuck yeah, let's do it. Let's give the masses what they want.
Masses, yes. All five people. So, it's not going to be a normal episode. We can't do our regular stuff. We could do weather because it's the weather. It's an easy one. We may do one or two regular little things, but it's really just going to be talking about... What's happened since the last episode? Exactly. And it's the last episode was the 19th of September, 2021. That was almost 2 years ago. So almost that's a long time.
Wow.
And maybe people don't know this, but Lucas and I haven't talked a hell of a lot since then. We have spoken, of course, and we've kept in touch through the Discord and Twitch and other places, but we used to play nightly.
Yeah.
And then since then we've continued our lives and remained friends, of course, but the podcast was our weekly water trough, or what do you call those things?
a weekly watering hole, yeah.
Watering hole, that's the one. Water trough. Still feels right on the inside.
Feels Shut up. Right.
You can't bring me down. Yeah, just one Pepsi. But anyway, shit's happened in your life that's changed, I'm sure, over the last 2 years. Same with me. We probably don't know much about it. So tell me. What's happened in Lucasland?
Oh, shit. Well, in Lucasland, I've been really trying to focus a lot on the content creation side of things, which I'll do a little bit of a plug later on for that. Still working on my first book, that it's going places.
How many chapters you got?
10. I'm 10 chapters in. Which I know I should be further along than that, but mental health is a bitch.
I feel you, don't worry.
the recent discovery that that I have undiagnosed ADHD goes to explain so many things.
That's a big change.
so many things. Yeah. Moved a couple different couple times over the last few years.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Once is enough.
Once is more than enough, and honestly, I just want to fucking stop at the next place, and that's it, and never move again. But guarantee that won't fucking work, because you know, housing market in Australia at the moment is fucked. Thanks, COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, COVID was around when we, because it was 2021, so COVID had been around for a long time by the time we finished the podcast, but it just didn't let up, did it? It didn't go away.
Still hasn't really gone away. Like, we still have...
Not completely.
Still have issues with it, and even now it's still destroying our fucking economy.
Yeah, everyone's... Cool. It's hard to travel, It's hard to do much of anything that we used to do quite easily. And it's so expensive to travel now, too. It's bloody ridiculous. It's
expensive to live now.
Wow, that's true. Yeah. That is real true. Because, I mean, even just everyday groceries and everything is freaking at least 25% more than they were, I reckon, 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's killer.
What's been happening in the Gregland, though?
Honestly, not a lot. I still only have two children, and they are still alive, so I haven't failed at parenting yet. You throw in a yet, because that's possible. Although, I did sort of slightly level up in parenting, in that I got a little doggy. He's cute.
No.
A little puppy dog. Well, he's not so much of a puppy now. He's a year. He's been with us for a year. So, I got a dog. Same job, though.
Same job. Same job you left the podcast for.
Yes, well, it kind of is the job. The job changed everything. But at least in that way, I'm glad I'm still there. Because if I had a left, then it would have been a waste, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But honestly, and you know, there hasn't been a lot more apart from that. Of course, just before we finished the podcast, I released my first novel, which was Pyramidion. I've released two little books since then, just novellas that are probably only take about an hour to read. And I'm about halfway, maybe, through the sequel to Pyramidion, but it's taken forever. Like, I started it a year ago, and I should have been finished 6 months ago, but I just don't have the motivation. Like, and that's what I was about to say. It wasn't just the new job that made us finish up the podcast. You know, both of us were pretty burnt out on Warframe, honestly. And still have been. We'll get into that in a second.
5 to 6, 7 years will fucking... We'll do that.
It will. And there's nothing wrong with that. Burnout's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean the game did anything. It will continue, and it has continued, and we'll talk about that. But, yeah, I completely burnt out on a lot of things, though, just because of all the stuff I was doing and my day job and everything else. And that's why I haven't been able to write much since. I wanted to start a retro gaming podcast and YouTube and stuff like that. It just never happened because I do have time. I don't have the motivation. So we're getting there. I'm slowly working through it, but and maybe this is a start. Hey, you know, it'll get me interested in this kickstart
you need. Maybe this is the jumper cables latching onto you.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. So, you have been focusing a lot on your Twitch over the last 2 years.
Yes.
And you've done pretty well. So, go on, plug away.
So, anyone wants to come by and say hello and see what's going on, well, I'm over at twitch.tv/silverlight, SILVR_LGHT. You can find me also on Twitter, again, Silverlight. Also on TikTok. I'm on TikTok as well. I got some
TikTok.
Post my clips up on TikTok.
There you go.
Yeah, same name, Silverlight. Just look for the weird Silverlight guy. He's over there somewhere. Very few videos on the YouTube, including a short story that I wrote up for a friend.
Oh, nice one.
Actually, I don't know. I don't think I sent you that one.
I think you did, because I remember it now. Yeah.
Do you remember it? Yeah. Okay. Well, you were reading. That,
yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of short story stuff. A few other little bits and bobs that I got in the works. I've been actually making my own merch as well.
Damn.
Like fully designing new merch and whatnot. I even went and put my hand in the cookie jar and to see if I could actually make and rig a 2D avatar.
There you go.
And I did. I managed to make myself a little 2D avatar, a little Plague Doctor 2D avatar.
Nice.
Took me 2 weeks to get that all working. I'm super fucking proud of myself for that.
Nice.
But now, just recently, in fact, like the last week, one of my mates was able to get me a 3D avatar. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Stop by his stream and check it out. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Good job to your mate.
Yeah, he did good. He did fantastic.
Yes. And speaking of fucking around and finding out, which is what you did with the 2D avatar thing, I actually was going to make a video game. So probably about 6 months ago, I started learning. First, I started learning GameMaker, and then I started to look at Unity.
Ooh.
And I was playing around with that. I had all these ideas for games, and then I made a game, and I encountered a bug and couldn't figure out how to fix it. So I just gave up because it was too frustrating. So, yeah, making video games is hard. I realize that now. And something as complicated as Warframe certainly ain't easy. I can only imagine because, you know, hey, I was playing around with it for all of 50 hours maybe compared to the amount of work that devs have put in. But still, it gave me it was an eye-opener. And I encourage anyone to give it a shot. Game Maker's free. Can just play around with it.
Hey, Greggles. Hey.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Do you want to make a game together? I'll do the story, you do the actual gaming.
we could, but I just said that it's frustrating as fuck. I'm still thinking of it because, you know, I'm sure I could figure it out if I went through it enough, but yeah, it really just destroyed it for me. But anyway, yeah, so that's us. We're still around. The Discord's still around. I don't know how you can find a link to it, but if you do want a link to jump in our Discord, you can hit up Lucas at Silverlight on Twitter or me at Mad Capsules on Twitter. We'll hand you out an invite.
I'm pretty sure
someone tracked me down on Facebook the other day, which was weird.
I'm pretty sure that people have still been joining the Discord too. So I think the links for the old episodes have been working.
If those, like our website's gone, so that, it may be hard to find those links, but oh, they're actually on the podcast, the episode, so you should be able to get in. Anyway, whatever, you find us, jump in,
you'll find us,
join us. It's not as crazy as it used to be because I mean a lot of the people that are in our Discord are also burnt out on the game, but still, we talk a lot of shit in there, and if you like shit, it's the place to be. So let's talk Warframe, Lucas. Let's do it. You ready?
Oh, boy.
Have you got your big boy pants on?
Sure.
You've got no pants on, I know. If I know Lucas, he's not wearing pants, but that's okay. He does his best work without pants on. So first, lay your cards upon the table, my friend. Rip off that Band-Aid. In the last 2 years, how many hours of Warframe have you played?
In the last 2 years, how much Warframe have I played? Okay, let's see. New War hit. So I played maybe 3 hours. Then Angels of Saruman hit, and I maybe played 2 hours. then just before Deviri Paradox hit, I played, I'm going to say 3 hours just to dust off the old cobwebs, and with Deviri Paradox, probably another 7 or 8 hours. So, yeah, in the last 2 years, about 20 hours total, really.
Yeah, and honestly, that's about the same for me, maybe a little bit less, to be honest. So, I wanted us to be honest coming into this, because that's just the way it is. But I've always kept an eye on Warframe. In fact, I've probably watched all of the dev streams for the last 2 years. I've kept up to date on everything. And every day we still talk about Warframe in the Discord, but I just haven't played. I have played a bit more than you did. When I say I've played less hours, that's only because I haven't played as much of the Dvir Paradox as you have. I've maybe played 5 hours or so, but I played a little bit more. So a lot's happened. We'll get into what we did play and what we didn't play. Firstly, there's been 5 new Warframes, Lucas. There was Caliban just after we finished up. There was Gaia, Styanax, Varuna, and Citrine. Did you play any of these?
Which one is the one with the spear and shield?
Styanax.
That one.
You did?
Yeah, just a little bit. I actually didn't get a chance to play too much of it.
Actually, that's probably the perfect Lucas frame, really.
It really is. It really is. That first ability. Like, I didn't even get a chance to fully level it, so I don't even know how it plays properly. But that first ability alone is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't play Styanax. I played Caliban, and I think that's it. Just Caliban. And when I think about it, it's interesting because I was very interested in Varuna, as I'm sure many of us were, because that's like the werewolf frame. It's not the same as the beast frame that's been going around for bloody 7 years in the forum, but it was pretty close, maybe the closest we'll ever get. And it's pretty cool, but I just never played it. And Citrine apparently is very good, but I just haven't gotten around to getting her. In fact, I don't even know how to. We'll talk about the updates in just a second. Next up, there were 6 primes. Harrow, Garuda, Korra, Revenant, Baruk, and Hildren. Some of those are your favourites. Some of those are my favourites.
Some of those goes to show how much time has passed.
I know. That's why I thought I'd read all these out, cause, so you'd be like, fuck. Did you get any of those?
No, I haven't. I haven't touched any of them.
Yeah. I got Revenant Prime. I think I even paid for it. See, that goes to show I've played freaking 10 hours in the last year, but I'm still pretty sure I came in and bought a Prime pack for Revenant. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I've got Revenant Prime. Shit. Embarrassing. I was going to get Hildren, but I just realized Wisp is next.
Ooh, yeah, Wisp would be next. Shit.
Wisp Prime is... Wisp is already bae, so it's gonna... Yeah, Wisp... I'll be buying Wisp Prime. Will I be coming back and grinding for it? No, I'll be buying Wisp Prime. That's just the way it is. All right.
That's just the way it is.
There's been a crap ton of updates. We'll talk about 2 in particular. The New War and Dvir Paradox, because they were the big ones. After the New War, Angels of Zariman and Echoes of the Zariman were also relatively big updates because of what they brought.
Yeah.
You didn't play any of it, though, did you?
I played the Angels of Zariman just to get the base... the basics of...
The Dormy Zone.
Yeah, the Dorm Zone unlocked. Apart from that, I didn't really care too much to... do any of the big grinding for reputational stuff after that. It was... Yeah, I came for the story and that was enough.
I pretty much did the same. I tried to play some of the missions, the new missions, and I know Wooshy in our Discord, she keeps telling me that they're some of the best missions in the game now, but I still just can't get around to playing them. And it's mainly because I do everything solo. And because I never really had good builds, or great builds, I should say. I probably had good builds, but never great builds. I struggle on particularly Steel Path and anything that's sort of later game or is better played with multiplayer. Every time I go in, I fail and just be like, nah, fuck that. And I stop playing. So... Yeah, Angels, I did play through. Echoes, I didn't even touch, so I don't even know what happened in Echoes of the Zariman.
I have no idea what the Echoes of Zariman even is.
Yeah, because I was going to say, oh, I think that's where they added the angels as bosses, but I don't think it was. I think that came with Veilbreaker, or Echoes of Veilbreaker. So this shows how much we know about Warframe since, because we're not embedded in the game. And this is part of the problem. This is one of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit later, is how big Warframe is and how open it really is, or how accessible it really is to new players. And especially because that's something that they're trying to address with Deviri. It's definitely something I wanted to touch on. Veilbreaker. Veilbreaker was a very cool, I have to admit, release. Not just because it brought Carl back, good old Carl, but because of the stealth missions and the weirdness of those missions. It was very different, had a very different feel, but still felt like it was within Warframe. And I really liked those missions. What were your thoughts of Veilbreaker?
Honestly, I didn't touch Veilbreaker until 2 days before Deviri dropped.
So last week,
literally used Veilbreaker as my de-rustifier.
Wow. Well, that's quite the de-rustifier.
And I enjoyed the story, of what Veilbreaker brings to the table. Didn't actually dive too much into the content after the story for Veilbreaker. Just kind of went, all right, cool. Now there's more reputational stuff to grind. Woo.
Pretty much.
What else have I missed?
Although I've got to say, I do want to make my Carl look cool. I just can't be fuck grinding. That's the problem. Like, having a Carl to dress up is cool. I like that idea. But yeah, having to grind for it. And of course you have to grind for it. That's the whole nature of the game. But I'm just, again, I like complaining. I'm pretty sure I've said this many times throughout the podcast. I just like to complain. And again, I don't know what Echoes of Veilbreaker is. I've got no idea. And I was saying this to Lucas before we recorded, because Lucas was looking at this list going, what are these Echoes? I'm pretty sure that's the new thing. Like, there's going to be an Echoes of Deviri as well. And that's going to bring something new, or whatever the Echoes do. I don't know. And now we've got those crystal shard things, Archon shards. Lucas, have you got any of those?
Nope.
I have one, but I think it's because it was a drop from watching a dev stream. So I'm just here to say that I'm cooler than Lucas, everyone. Let's not forget that. Cooler than Lucas. All right, Lua's Prey. Lua's Prey was, I think, a story quest to get Varuna, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm lost there.
It was definitely for Varuna. I don't even know how to say it. But I didn't know whether it was a quest. I didn't know whether it was what. So I just didn't jump in, because I thought... from my understanding, that maybe it wasn't an actual playable quest, it was just some game modes, and I was like, oh, I can't be bothered doing that. I want some hand-holding so I can go in and just get the frame. So I never played. And same with Citrine's Last Wish. Exactly the same.
I was just like, I don't know what you're getting. I do know that there's like a new defense that they put on Mars tied to one of the frames. I'm not sure if it's Citrine or if it's...
Yes, I think that is Citrine, because I did play that, actually.
Yeah, I gave that defense a try. It's,
you've got to defend the two crystals and
Defend two crystals, literally jump from Mars to the void and then back again. It's like, okay, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. That was pretty cool, and the story behind that, which I don't remember off the top of my head now, but I remember it was like a love story or something, was also pretty pretty interesting, but not interesting enough for me to remember, apparently. So I guess we'll just move on. And of course there was this little thing called the Deviri Paradox, probably not worth talking about.
Nah, definitely not worth talking about.
We'll get to that. Alright, big changes happened. What was it? Start of this year?
Was it Saturday? Yeah, I thought it was last year.
It could have been. Whenever it was. But, yeah, the team split. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was because part of the team wanted to go off and make something new, and the younger members of the team, if that's the right term to use, were sort of promoted to take over their roles. So Reb Ford is now creative director, replacing Steve for Warframe, which is really interesting. And Steve has gone off with some of the other guys to build something new called Soulframe.
And there is what many do you think about these things around that?
So you are excited?
I'm so excited for Soulframe.
Yeah, same. I'm very keen, very interested, and looking forward to it. And the day they drop a Founders Pack, I'll buy it. I don't care what it is, I will just buy it because, hey, we've put in 10 years of our life into this game.
Into this crap ton
of money. Yeah, exactly.
Into
so
this company.
They deserve it. A little bit back.
They do.
Plus, it looks really good. I'm not one of those sort of Souls-like players. That's not me. I don't enjoy them. The one I enjoyed most was Elden Ring, but I only played it for 10 hours maybe, and then I was like, yeah, I've had enough. It's too slow for me. I'm impatient, so I want fast pace.
And for me, Bloodborne yeah. is my Souls-like.
I tried Bloodborne and I just couldn't get into it. Yeah. I don't know what it was. I don't think I even passed an hour. I was just like, this is boring. Boring, and I don't know where to go. And that's part of the problem. I do like having my hand held. So I'm not their target audience, I know that. And that's the only thing I'm concerned about with Soulframe, but I don't think they're gonna make a Souls-like, honestly.
It will be very much like Warframe, just more melee focused.
Yeah.
A slowed down Warframe, essentially.
A better than Deviri melee focus. There's some no of comment. My thoughts already.
No comment. Gotta hold that one off.
Wayfinders is also a thing. So it's not a game made by DE, but it's a game being published by DE. And they're also giving them input. Have you seen anything about Wayfinders?
You know, it keeps popping up on my YouTube as a little commercial thing, and I've maybe looked at it once, thought, okay, this story seems interesting at least, and then switched off.
So it's going to be a free-to-play game, third person, very melee-focused, made by the guys who made Darkstalkers.
Okay.
But the whole free-to-play model and a lot of the what's it called? MMO components are sort of coming from DE. And you can tell when you look at the way they're doing things, you look at the way you get weapons and you level your characters and the way that the... they haven't really gone into detail about what you can and can't buy, but it's very DE and it's very Warframe. So for me, I'm like, yeah, sign me up. I wasn't a huge fan of Darkstalkers, to be honest. It wasn't necessarily something I enjoyed, but I know I enjoy grinding Warframe, and if they can combine those two things, maybe it will become something I'll enjoy. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, from the little story clip that they showed on the video that I saw, it definitely kind of points in a direction that I would enjoy story-wise.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I might check it out as well.
I tried to get into the beta, but nope, I failed. Loser.
Wow.
Loser.
Loser.
Alright, so they're the big things that have happened with DE and Warframe since we moved on, bar two particular subjects. So let's talk about those particular subjects. One is the new war. And I guess Railbreakers, because that's kind of an extension of that.
Kind of is an extension, yeah. Kind of is.
The new war was something we were extremely excited about when we finished the podcast.
Yeah.
And I remember, because honestly, folks listening, if you are listening, I hope you are listening, I don't even remember how to make podcasts anymore. Like, the sound quality could be freaking terrible. I don't know. I've got to clean it up. I've got to figure out if I remember how to edit later. So this is my little mid-podcast apology if everything's shit. Why did I bring that up? Because I listened to episode 147. 147? 145? I don't know. Earlier today, just to remind myself what podcast's episode sounded like so I could remember some shit. And yeah, we were talking about how excited we were for the new war. Tenno-Con was coming up, and we were and Lucas was saying, "Oh, I want to see Deveri," and I was saying, "I don't want to see Deveri because I know it's not coming soon. So just stop showing stuff that's not coming soon because I'm a grumpy old man." Anyway, the new war hit maybe 3 months after we finished the podcast, and it was massive and it was different. And what did you think?
Honestly, it was fucking worth the wait.
It was. But.
But.
I don't necessarily think it changed Warframe enough, which is what we were expecting. I guess it did in some ways because the whole, what's it called, Narma thing. And there's certain places you can go to that are very different. And now we've got the Orbiter, now we've got the Drifter and all those things. So there are certain things that changed massively.
It changed a few things massively. Not everything.
But yeah.
It did have an impact on the game as a whole in a way.
But it was, for me, it was... There were still a lot of things that you could do that were just the same as previously and unaffected by it all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a little bit of a letdown for that. And maybe that's asking too much.
Well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, they did kind of promise that it was going to be a game changer.
That's the thing.
And sure, it was... It changed the game, but it wasn't a game changer. It was...
I mean, the Operator, the Second Dream, the Operator, the War Within, those were game-changing because of the storyline. Yeah,
those were game-changers.
But they weren't game-changers because the Operator is fun to play.
No. It's because they opened our eyes to the possibility and what actually lies behind the veil.
Exactly. And I don't think that the new war did that to the same degree.
Not to the same degree. There's definitely some things that make us hopeful and question the future of Warframe. Like Wally.
Yes.
He's Stalker. Yep, Stalker, yep. I mean, we got the Veilbreakers out of it as well, and that's a whole new change as well. You know, if I can, the Grineer turning around and being, fuck the Queens, we fight for ourselves now.
Well, that's true, yeah. And that was very cool. Like, yeah. That was something that I really enjoyed. That particular change. And I hate stealth in games. Which is why I don't do very well in those Veilbreaker missions. But I enjoy them because the look and the feel of everything is actually quite immersive. And I'm not the type of person that gets immersed in games. I always think to myself, how do people get immersed? Because you're staring at a screen. You're not actually there. You know, but hey, it is what it is. We're all different. But I really felt that Veilbreaker had a very different feel. New War was brilliant because it was extremely cinematic, and everyone loves that cinematic feel, but it was also the missions themselves were cinematic, and I think that was awesome, but once it was finished, it was finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, did it tie up the story enough for you, or was there anything that you thought from, you know, the old story of Ballas and...
I think for tying up the old Ballas story, it was good. It did, it did the job. It gave us the answers we wanted, to a degree, and then just fucking gave us so many more goddamn questions.
I mean, there were some oh shit moments, which was cool.
There were definitely some oh shit moments. I particularly enjoyed the Archons. The Archons were a very nice addition to the quest line.
Yeah. Some of them, one or two of them, I find really easy, and one or two of them, can't remember which ones, that's why I'm saying one or two, are really fucking hard, though. Like, I just can't figure out their thing. And this goes to show that because we haven't played a lot, we haven't fought these bosses a lot, so maybe because I've only played them once or twice, that's why I couldn't figure it out. But, yeah, I didn't know how I felt about them, to be honest. The design and everything was cool. The idea was cool.
Design-wise, they were amazing. They looked fucking phenomenal.
I just don't know how I felt about Balas actually winning. And then not winning.
It was a thing.
Yeah.
It was a time. You know, I'm kind of glad they did go down the route of him winning and the whole system changing under his rule and whatnot. That was a nice direction to take the story, because if we just came through and kicked everyone's ass day one, then it's boring. It's the same old story. It's the power creep. It's meh. It was a very ballsy story. Very ballsy story. And with the introduction of the Drifter as well, like...
Yeah, that was a big change, but that was up until Daviri, I still wasn't sure what the fuck the whole thing was with the Drifter. And in some ways, I'm still confused about that, and, you know, maybe we need to do another special episode one day with Grey Archon to explain the story to us. Because in some ways, I'm still confused about where everything sits now. And Eternalism is just a nice little... Eternalism explains everything. Way out, kind of.
I have my theories for the Drifter.
Yeah? Go on.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that when we get to Daviri.
Oh, okay. Let's get to Daviri then. anything else you want to say about New War?
Good job, DE. Ooh, the big fucking giant wall at the end. That was so cool.
Wall.
That was amazing. Cinematically, so very cool. Appealing.
And very, very anime.
Yeah.
Extremely anime. Like, stands out as being weird, got weird to a point, anime. Because that was way out of left field.
Way.
And yeah, even in Daviri, there was nothing quite like that.
No.
But that was very cool. Sorry, Daviri.
Daviri.
What the fuck happened in Daviri?
All right, for let's first off look at the fact that...
Spoilers, everyone.
Yeah, spoilers. Spoilers! You've been warned!
The New War we talked about because it was a year ago. This one, spoilers.
First off acknowledge the fact that DE basically created a roguelite in Warframe.
Yes and no.
Yeah, yes and no.
We'll get to that.
But this may actually be my new favorite game mode.
Yeah, I will agree.
Easily. Like, I don't want to play Warframe. I want to play Daviri Paradox.
Exactly. So here you go. There might be some listeners out there that are listening that are in the same position as us. They haven't played Warframe in a long time, and they're thinking, should I go back and check out Daviri? My answer to all of you is yes. You yes. Absolutely yes. Should. Will you
don't
like
even
it?
Question.
I don't know. You may maybe. You may not.
Maybe
you do. There are things I love about Daviri, and there are things I do not like. Fall damage. And that's number one, but overall it is very cool. It's very different, very original. They've done some really cool things. In a way, it's a little bit like a Souls-like, but it's not.
No, it's, roguelike.
It's very much a roguelike, but it's also a Souls-like in a way with the,
in a way.
The battle, but it's not, because, as I was alluding to earlier, the Drifter just doesn't have the right feel for melee.
Yeah.
There's not enough moves. There's no cancels on moves. Yeah, it can be a bit frustrating to play. And I'm glad they didn't try to go down the really difficult melee fighting, you know, much like Elden Ring and those kinds of games. I'm glad they kept it more in the Warframe realm. Because you do have a gun, you can shoot them if you want to. It's just not very powerful, so you really do need to get in there with your weapon.
For the most part, the gun's used to interrupt big moves from the enemies, which that's a nice little addition. So you know, use the gun as an interrupter.
Yeah, I like that.
That's really cool.
And there are some cool things that they've done with it. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I couldn't do it all the time. But what is Dvirri?
Oh well. That is still a good fucking question. the game mode.
Yeah, so for someone who hasn't played it, how would you explain it?
You start off by being given a choice of 3 frames, 2 melee, 2 primary, and 2 secondary weapons. You pick your pick your poison, jump through the fucking portal and go through basically a bounty, basically an open world bounty, collecting buffs as you go along to make yourself more powerful. The buffs are completely randomized, and that's where the roguelite comes in.
And that's where the fun comes in. Initially, when I first played through it, I thought it doesn't quite work, but it totally works.
It totally fucking works. It really, really fucking works.
You can get really powerful if you choose the right degree.
It's ridiculous. You can get stupid powerful. Like, and you know, when you first start it up, you go in, your first little melee fight you do, you're kind of like rolling and avoiding everything, and it's like, oh shit, I'm gonna die, and and then, you know, maybe half hour later, when you've picked up 20 different freaking intrinsic buffs, you come back to the same type of fight as that first one, and you just one tap everyone, just slash that guy in half, dash over here, slash that one in half, shoot that guy in the face, it's all good.
And when you go into the Undercroft missions, just every single attack I was doing was freaking massive red crit numbers.
Yes, because all of those drifter buffs transfer to your Warframe and your weapons. See, and because this is another thing we should probably mention here, is that you don't really play as your Warframe until you do the Undercroft segments. And from what I've seen, each time you do a Dvirri run, there's only 2 Undercroft segments. So for the most part,
it depends
are playing
on the
as the drifter.
The mood.
Depends on the mood?
Yeah, so each mood. So just like when you go to say, Plains of Dvirri, and you go up to choose a bounty. During the day, you'll have certain bounties. During the night, you'll have other bounties. Pardon?
Plains of Eidolon. You said Plains of Dvirri.
Plains of Eidolon. Same kind of thing. So, during the day, you've got certain bounties. During the night, you've got other bounties. In this one, Fear has very specific bounties that can randomly be given to you. Anger has different bounties that can be given to you. So only one of the guys can give you Search for the Tams, for example. I think that's Envy. And another one will give you, I don't know,
Anger gave me Search for the Tams today.
Oh, maybe it's Anger then. Whatever it is, each one has a different list that they can pull from. And I think each of them has maybe 2 Undercroft missions. 2 different missions, whatever they may be. One might be Void Flood, one might be Survival, another Defense, whatever. But that's how that works.
Yeah, but either way, like when you go in, 2 of the 6 required missions will be Undercroft.
Yes.
The other 4 are drifter specific overworld objectives. So you only use your Warframe and Warframe loadouts for a very limited point of this game mode.
Yes.
And the only other time after that that you use your Warframe and loadout for said Warframe is in the final 7th segment, which is a whole nother thing.
Oh, yes.
They did amazing with that.
We can spoil a little. We said there'd be spoilers, so if you listen, it's your own damn fault.
It's your own damn fault.
So you get to play as the dragon, which is cool. Then you get to fight against the dragon.
You get to transference into the dragon.
It's very cool.
Fucking awesome.
It doesn't control very well, but it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't control very well at all. But no, you're a fucking space dragon.
Yeah. And you're a space dragon, you get to destroy two towers, and then you fly into a portal, and then you got to fight the dragon.
And then you have to fight the dragon.
There's a few different sections to it. And it plays really well, and it's fun.
It is really fucking good. Now, this is a game mode I want to go back and play on Steel Path. Because
yes.
the fight against the dragon, it's easy. It's not hard, it's not complicated. It's easy. However, if you were to play that Steel Path, I feel like that would be like the closest you'd get to a raid boss in Warframe.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably would be. I'll have to check it out. I do have Steel Path really locked. Well, I just haven't done it yet because I'm scared.
Yeah.
I think I need to play with other people.
There's a full on intrinsic upgrade segment as well that you can get currency for while doing the Daviri paradox to get bonuses, you know, for like your chance at getting good buffs, your chance at additional selections for warframes and stuff at the start. Oh, yeah. You know, weapon upgrades, horse upgrades, drifter upgrades, and there are some very interesting ones that have caught my attention that I'm going to be farming specifically to unlock.
Such as
I think it's called Stranger in Black.
Hmm.
And it's on the chance intrinsics. It's the very last level 10 unlock, and it basically just says an unlikely ally can sometimes be found and used as a warframe.
Indubitably, and who might that unlikely ally be?
My guess is Stalker.
Well, we know it is, so... Yes, so he can. You can play as a Stalker, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so... Fuck, that's awesome. Good job, DE. as a game mode, it's fantastic. They did a great job. The world itself is huge. Like, I'm lost. Like, every time I get to the place, I'm like... Alright, I have literally zero fucking clue where I am. The map is so goddamn big that it's just... You get lost. You get lost so easily.
It is big. It is a very big map, and it's a rabbit warren.
Yep. Yep. So, map, they did a fantastic job. The skyboxes. Ah, the skyboxes!
And it all changes depending on what mood the guy's in. So
happiness. Happiness is by far my fucking favorite. That skybox is,
happiness is gorgeous.
Yeah. Holy shit.
It's very cool. And they've done a lot. So I saw a comment that, hey, it's been 4 or 5 years since Daviri and this is all we got. And I'm like, shit, all? There's a whole game here.
This isn't Warframe. It's not Warframe 2. No, this is Daviri Paradox. It's an entirely new fucking game in its own.
Yeah, it's really weird. And you know, who would have thought that the thing that Warframe needed to bring lapsed players back is random warframes and weapons.
Random warframs and weapons.
I would not have thought that, but that's part of what I enjoy about it, the fact that I don't get to choose. And I mean, it also doesn't work in my favor all the time because I'm playing the whole thing solo and sometimes the choices I have are not great.
There's another thing to talk about, the choices as well, because I don't know about you, but when I've been playing, there's been a couple times where it's given me warframes I don't even have and weapons I don't even have.
Yes. Yes, it does do that, which is cool. And that's, you know, I guess why it could be of value to new players or to you older players who have friends who are just starting the game. so that you can play the same content without, you know, being way overpowered compared to your friend. I think that's pretty cool. Very cool. But, man, I need to unlock that intrinsic that gives you more options, because 3 warframes just ain't enough. So many times I'm being presented with 3 warframes I don't want to play.
Yeah, thankfully, thankfully, since that's a tree I've focused on, I've already unlocked the fourth option, Warframe. Definitely worth it. There's been a few times I've looked at the 3 and gone, eh, then torn to the 4th and been like, you're a blessing in disguise.
Well, when you first go in, you can only choose from 4 weapons. So yeah, well, for 2 of the weapons, you don't have any choice. You just got to take what they're offering you, and that was really painful. Well, so, I mean... unless mine was glitched, I only had 4 options, the next time I went in, I had 6. Okay, bastard.
Yeah, I think yours was glitched.
And that's another thing. I encountered a lot of bugs. Not everyone did. I know you didn't, and I know a few other people said they never saw any bugs, but I encountered several where I actually needed to quit the quest and start again. Not the whole quest. There are checkpoints, but... You know, for example, in Daviri, sometimes you've got to do 2 or 3 things before you go on to the next section, and in one of them, it was right at the end, it glitched, and I had to go back and do the whole thing, which included a section that was a whole excavation mission, and, I mean, that's not so bad. I can play an excavation mission, but I didn't freaking want to have to. So that was a bit annoying, but, you know, there's always going to be bugs. They've already fixed those bugs, I think, so I don't think anyone's going to encounter the same bugs that I was lucky enough to run into. But there's a few things I don't necessarily like about it. So one, the Daviri story itself, or the Daviri mode, where you go into Daviri and you play as the Drifter, then you play as your Warframe, then you play as the Drifter. I love that. It's so much fun. But that doesn't... Playing that mode does not count towards the rewards that you can get for another mode that's called the Circuit. And that's what really disappoints me. So the Circuit is just the Warframe parts. So if you want to play Warframe, the Circuit in Daviri, you randomly get assigned your Warframes and weapons, then you jump into the Circuit and you just play basically endless Warframe game modes, which is fun, and lots of us love to do that, and you keep just going over and over and over again, and the more you play, the more you earn. And you can choose your rewards. So if you're playing the normal mode, you get to choose between 3 Warframes, and you get to play towards achieving all of those Warframes over the course of a week, which is a great idea. It gives people other options for acquiring Warframes. I love it. The other thing, if you're playing Steel Path, you get to choose an Incarnon upgrade. And Lucas and I don't know what Incarnon weapons are because we haven't played for the last 2 years, but I know that they're upgrades to older weapons. And in Daviri Paradox in particular, they're upgrades to very old weapons. So I'm really interested in unlocking the Skarna and the Lato Incarnons, just to see what they've done with those weapons to try and freshen them up. I think that's a really great idea. But
yeah, that is good.
Only do that in the Circuit, and the Circuit is the least interesting and least fun of the options, in my opinion.
I haven't even touched the Circuit because I've just been enamored by the actual Daviri game mode.
Yeah, and the problem I have is the Daviri game mode is massively fun, but you only get to choose 6 or 7 or however many decrees, and then you have to start again because there's only 6 or 7. No. Yeah,
but there are actually a whole slew of side quests scattered throughout the entire map. So if you actually decide to hold off on the main objective and just explore the islands, you can pick up. I think Red Wizard said the max he picked up was 98 intrinsic buffs. Yeah, he reached a point where it literally told him there is nothing more he can do.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know you could do that. That makes it much better, because one of the things I was going to say was it needs to be like an endless mode.
Yeah, and I think he even said by doing that, he was able to max out 2 of his intrinsic trees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, that's pretty cool. He got to max out his intrinsic trees, but I really want there to be like end game worthy rewards to grinding Deveria. And I know there is, because you can get from defeating the Oro Worm, which is the dragon, you get, I forgot what they're called, some sort of drop that you can use to buy things from the vendor. And some of those things include Rivens and primary arcane adapters and cool things like that. And they are sort of end game rewards. But I want a bit more.
That bird. I want that bird.
And the bird. Yeah, exactly. It's cute. So there's a bunch of things you can do, but it's just, I don't know. For me, I wish you could grind Deveria to achieve some of that other stuff, the Incarnon weapons and things like that. And I hope they figure out some way to do that. I hope they wait for it.
There are some weapon blueprints actually hidden in Deveria as well, as I found out. I think on my second run, I actually managed to pick up one of the new bow blueprint. And apparently all the parts for said bow drop in Deveria. Yeah. So it's got more things to grind for.
there's stuff people are just finding out. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. That is good. And they're the main problems I have with Deveria. Well, actually, there's another big one. I'll talk about that in a second. The other one I mentioned before is fall damage. And I understand fall why. Damage because sucks. You're the Drifter. The Drifter is human. They're not a Warframe. Blah, blah, blah.
They're not a ninja. They're not a space ninja.
But when I'm flying to get the Oro Worm and it knocks me off my goddamn horse, don't fucking kill me. Because I lost every single one of my lives once trying to get the Oro Worm, because every time I'd get close enough, it would shoot me and I'd fall off the horse and I wouldn't be able to summon it in time, and then I'd hit the ground and I'd die. Five times on one boss.
That does suck a bit.
So, I understand fall damage. Just don't make it kill you. You bastards. It's every single time I just die. So I'm so frustrated about that. But the other thing is, a big change that they brought with Deveria is if you start the game today, you can choose to start from the normal Warframe path, or you can choose to start Deveria. It's an interesting idea, and it doesn't... and, you know, we talked about it in the Discord, actually, and Wooshy was saying, you know, they're very clever because they've made specifically not referred to the operator and who they are and who the Drifter is and who the Warframes are. They haven't explained any of that in Deveria, so they're not really giving out any spoilers there. And that's true. But the story is batshit insane, and I'm not sure, for a person who's coming in out of nowhere, I'm just not sure they'd understand what was going on. Or
no, see, that's the beautiful part. They wouldn't until they reached the new war.
And that's the thing. So they've got to play Deveria, and then that has to entice them enough to play the main Warframe game, which, let's face it, is very different and requires a lot of grinding for things that they're going to be given in Deveria.
Yeah.
It requires them to be interested in that main core game enough to get through the new war to understand what's happening in Deveria.
I think it could actually... I see the benefits of doing it this way. And also the negatives. One of the big benefits is that this is an actual feasible and elaborate and comfortable new player experience.
Yes. And I like the fact that they added the mobility test training thing.
Yeah, they gave us the mobility tutorial, which was like, okay,
search for that.
Fuck yes. Cool. We've got an actual in-game proper tutorial. It's linear. You don't have to fucking look for it. It's linear. It's there. Do it. You need to do that. You do it. Do it. And then from there, they give you the choice of the three basic frames and all the basic weaponry, including some not so basic weaponry. Tigris. and you know, gives people a chance to try that kind of stuff before they actually jump into the, you know, normal Warframe side of things.
Yes.
And then with the repeated, you know, if you go back to Deveria Paradox over and over and over again, like I have, each time you're given different frames and different weapons and whatnot, and you get to try different things that you may not actually have access to yet in the main game, and you go, oh, I remember playing fucking Banshee in the Deveru Paradox, and I really enjoyed it. I have something I want to go farm for now.
Yeah, there's plenty of value in that, to be honest. You know, that is something that probably would have driven myself when I first started playing. So I can understand that. It's just, I don't know how much of a good example of the main game of Warframe, the Deveru Paradox. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be, does it?
No.
Because they can just choose to go in there at any time, and then they can experience the main game. But it's just, yeah. And if they want more power, they can jump into Deveru Paradox. It's more from a story perspective.
The story is batshit crazy, and you will not understand the story until you get to New War.
And that might scare people away.
Might.
But it also might make them think, I have to figure out what's going on here. And
I need to open this can of worms.
So, one thing I will say, though, is the Deveru Paradox is really fast-paced at times. And you get swarmed, you get inundated with enemies in some of those, like the survival missions and things like that, which is great.
Yep.
But I wonder how a new player would react to that. And I wonder how well they would do against those. Because when I've been given some frames and weapons that I wasn't quite happy to be given, you know, when I've just gone, okay, this is the best of these options, I died a couple of times in some of those missions. Just because I didn't know how to use the frames, because it had been so long since I played them, and, you know, wasn't so good with those weapons, blah blah blah.
Or you didn't have proper builds for those weapons.
I definitely didn't have proper builds. Often I was just using the builds that they suggested, and the builds that they're suggesting are okay. They're not terrible.
They're basic. They're very basic. And actually, that adds another thing. You know, people can go and have a look at that and see, like, we talked about fucking years ago the problems behind the mod system. This kind of also serves as a way for people to look at mods and go, oh, that's how you're supposed to map them out. You know, give them a basic blueprint to how to mod.
Yeah. But I don't know how many people would actually look at them.
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. It's still too early for me to say what I really feel about it. I probably have to play through a bit more. But it's really impressive. It's really fun. Is it enough to get me back into Warframe? Probably not. And the one thing, the thing I want to sort of end on, because this has been longer than I expected. Yeah, yes. Jeez, we're good.
Fuck yeah, we are.
The one thing I do want to mention is, and I've forgotten it now. Fuck. How did I forget that? How good's that? See, people have missed this. Flaky old Greg. His old brain is leaky and stuff falls out sometimes. No, that's what I wanted to talk about. The problem with Warframe has always been and will continue to always be that there are so many disparate systems to keep across.
Yes.
There's too many different systems that are unrelated to each other. And when I go back to Warframe now, the problem I have is I know what I don't have. And I know what I need to do to get them. But I have too many choices. And some of them require me to do certain things like rank up my amps and things better before I go off and chase them, and I really don't want to do that. So I'm left with bad choices when I really want to go after something. I mean, fuck, 2 years ago, I talked about how, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go off and get myself a sister, and I'm going to get one of those tenant weapons. I still haven't got a sister. Not once. I've still got my Kuva Zar. I still haven't killed him and taken the Zar yet. So this is the biggest problem I have with Warframe, in that it's just so overwhelming.
There's never too much used to think in one game.
But yeah, if you put it down for a little while, it gets out of hand.
Absolutely. I mean, as you pointed out, we've been only really gone for just about 2 years. Yeah. Not even 2 years. And so much of the game has changed in that small window. Like, I mean, 2 years isn't a small window, but in the grand scheme of the game itself, like, what, we have 10 years now?
Yep.
Yeah. This year. Yeah, 10 years. 10 years now. Warframe's been out for 10 years. In the grand scheme of those 10 years, that 2 years that we've been away for is massive. And so much has been added and so much has been changed, and Warframes have been updated and new ones have been thrown in, and fucking new game modes have been thrown in, and new fucking reputational grinds have been thrown in, and it's just, it's overwhelming. It is really overwhelming.
It is. It's crazy. So, I don't know. I'll probably play more Warframe, but it'll just be little bits and bobs over time. So, one thing before we sort of start to wind up, TennoCon's 10-year anniversary is coming up this year. What do you want to see?
The man on the wall.
Yeah, and I think, you know what? I think we are going to see that. I think the next direction is going to be telling that story. So I think you're going to be happy. I think...
that's all I care about. I want to know who Wally is.
Yeah, well, I do too. But really, what I want more than that is crossplay. I think it's actually out of hand now. They've been talking about it for 2 years. One of the reasons I don't play...
Crossplay's already out.
Not crossplay, cross-save.
Cross-save, yeah.
One of the reasons I don't play is because I don't necessarily want to play on PS5 all the time. I want to jump on my PC and play the same account. I want to jump on my Switch and play the same account. If I had it on my phone, I would play it sometimes while on my phone. And that's just an excuse. Would I be playing Warframe more if cross-save was available? Probably not. But I think for a lot of people, it would change things. And yeah, we've been talking about, it's been 2 years. That's a long time. And I know they need to do a lot of work, but it also shows that it's not a key focus of theirs. And I think it needs to be. Personally. All right. So let's do something we haven't done in a long time. Ready, Lucas? What time is it? It's time for...
Community Call Out.
I can't remember how the song goes, but we did it just as we still did it amazingly. So it's been a long time since we did a community call out, but as always, it goes to the Discord. The Discord still exists, and that it surprises does,
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Yeah, big shout out to Wushi. Wushi's been doing an amazing job keeping things alive in the Discord. Thank you so much.
Cephalon Wushi, I think we should say.
Cephalon Wushi, yeah. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Red Wizard. Red Wizard jumped in and played a little bit of Deviri Paradox with me on stream the other day, so shout out to you, Red Wizard.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, a few of the older crew have stayed around, like Tremanth and CoyotePX, and... I did see Fluffstery recently.
Still see Doug from time to time.
Dougie. Yep.
Still gives me grief about there. Paladins.
Everyone's still there.
I know. I still see Rathog a heap. Rathog's still fantastic.
Yes, Rathog's still about. Always a lovely gentleman. Jump into his Twitch as well.
Yeah.
I do recommend. Yep. Alrighty. Did we have a song for King Louis?
King Louis's blessings.
That's the one. Go for it. You've got one.
This one comes from one of the many that Wushi has actually posted recently on the Discord, and this is the Pyrophobia Neja. To instill the primal fear of fire in enemies, I have replaced Divine Spears with Terrify. This gives Neja a way to strip enemy armor with Creeping Terrify. On you still have the needed CC. With Blind Rage and Brief Respite on, every cast of either Warding Halo or Terrify fully restores Neja's shields, which allows for use of shield gating to survive high-level content.
That is very cool.
Damn!
I stuffed Lucas up by moving the page that he was reading from.
Move the fucking page. Slipped it right from underneath me. Bastard.
As soon as it happened, I'm like, why did he pause? Oh, of course.
Good job.
It was typed on the page and it's going to move it. So, interesting. But that's very cool. And Wushi's ideas that she has are often
there's many and they are amazing. So
yeah.
Keep up the good work. And thank you so much, Wushi, for keeping King Louis's blessings alive.
Indeed. Indeed. All right, last thing. We don't have one, but let's do the old song. Lucas, Dr. Cephalon, you ready?
Dr. Cephalon!
Dr. Cephalon!
Dr. Cephalon!
Something like that? Something like that.
That still felt good.
It still felt good. Still, it felt right.
Yeah, we don't have a Dr. Cephalon. I just wanted to do the song. And I guess that's it for this time. Will we ever do another episode? I don't know. Never say never. Who knows? Maybe we'll do one in 6 months. Maybe we'll do one in 6 years. Maybe we'll do one after Tenacon. I don't know. Depends on what gets announced. Maybe we'll do one for the release of Soulframe. Who knows? But yeah, you may as well keep following Cephalon Squared because we're still alive. We're still here. My name is Greg Newbegin. I'm Mad Capsules all over the shop. Go and buy my book. It's called Pyramidion. I'm listed as GE Newbegin on the interwebs on Amazon. Go find it. Go buy my book. Lucas?
And I am Lucas Silvestri. I'm Silverlight all over the interwebs. SilverLght. Find me on Twitch. Find me on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. I'm all over the shop. And
Indubitably. Alrighty. That's all. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this special episode of Cephalon Squared. See you around.